Welcome in to another edition of the Tabby and a Keg podcast, episode 377. Birthday boy Mitch Ross on the ones and twos.
Yeah,
Charlie
today.
Here with you.
Wow.
You bet.
Almost forgot.
Happy birthday, buddy.
Thank you.
Hope it is a great start to the decade as you head to 31.
I will be 31.
Right. Or you are 31.
I am 31.
Yeah, there you go.
Say. I am 31. Maybe we'll turn a corner here in 2020.
Exactly. Maybe this is the start of
the day we needed.
The 2020 rebrand. Like 2020 was down through the first half.
Yeah.
Now in the second half, they're just going to get buckets.
They had us in the first half, not going to lie.
Exactly. And now we're just going to go off. We have a cool show today. We're going to talk about how worried we are about fall sports, where we put the panic meter with what's going on in football, what's going on in football, both college and pro, but pro first. And then we're going to talk about like the one thing that stood out for us with the Brewers' schedule. And then are we worried that Chris Middleton did not touch basketball for 3 months before in the quarantine? Does that matter? Or would that be an overreaction? We shall see. And I'm sure we'll divert into many other topics throughout this, what should be 40 minutes to an hour. Let's get into it, though. Waste no time. So we have an interesting scenario brewing with fall sports. You can kind of see it. It's almost like the storm that we saw as we were headed in today to tape. Where, I mean, it was very ominous. I don't know if it's as dark as the skies were here in Milwaukee, but there's a lot going on. And,
yeah, and I would almost compare it a little bit to, like, early March.
Yeah.
Right now.
Right.
Probably early March, because at least from my perspective, and I went back and listened to our last podcast before the world ended, and we were, you know, pretty... I guess ignorant is, but I mean, you know,
in the back of my head, I
didn't really think that we'd shut down the country
right
at any point, and
right.
It lasted the better part of, I mean, all of 2 months.
Sure.
For sure. And, you know, into three. So, it's an interesting time right now for sure. And there's a lot going on, a lot of negativity for sure.
Well, here's the thing. In March, I think we've talked about it the last time we did the show, that we just didn't know all the information. We didn't know how serious it was going to be. And just everything sort of changed on kind of a drop of the hat. And we really should have done a cleanup show with you and I. But that was even before we knew what Zoom was. Like, it was just, it was so new. Everything we were just learning, that I just started doing podcasts on my own. And I explained entirely. And whether there's a second wave or not, I know that people kind of get sick of my Rona takes because they're not necessarily – I don't follow the rules, I guess, when it comes to Rona. I don't kind of fall in line. I provide a little bit of extra layer, but I'm trying to limit myself to one or two things a day.
It would depend on who you talk to, but yes.
No,
I understand your point.
I personally – I don't get amassed with the panic porn. And there's just – that's
right,
all
right, – yeah.
That's all the media feeds us is panic porn. And that kind of goes into what I think is going on with fall sports is I think that a lot of these athletes are not doing enough research, that a lot of these athletes are scared for really no reason at all. And we've empowered players, and the player, entitlement era is upon us. And because the players are entitled to kind of speak up and have a voice, they're standing up for themselves. Right now you're seeing they want the preseason canceled, and the NFL is like, we can't like cancel the preseason. Like, we can get it down to two games. We have no problem getting it down to two games. We're not going to cancel the whole season of preseason. And JC Tretter had a statement today that said, well, there were 25% more injuries when we had the lockout, and we don't want people to get locked out. And I don't know. I think two games of preseason is reasonable, but you're starting to see the fights that we saw with baseball and with basketball, more so baseball, not basketball, start to bubble up. And it's a real thing. Now, the NFL was near a lot, I wouldn't say a lockout, but they went right to the deadline, and then decisions were made.
Yeah, the NFL and the players always seem to be a little bit at odds, just because the NFL owners, and they make so much money. The league
right.
has so
it's
much
silly.
Money. And the players, just for whatever reason, their players' union is not that great. And maybe it's because the NFL owners are so powerful that they don't have a leg to stand on.
Right. And to want daily testing, I think, is a little bit kind of ridiculous. Like, I understand that you want to have your test back. And I pointed this out on my podcast on Monday. It was next level dumb for baseball to start doing all their testing and their training camp right around 4th of July. They really should have bumped that up so they could have avoided this holiday snafu. We even saw it with the numbers of, you know, there were 900 deaths reported, but that was could have been a holiday backlog. We'll see what the results look like tomorrow. So the fact is, like, that was stupid. And so they say, oh, we want to do daily testing. Well, right now, I don't know if we're at a point where 32, you know, teams will have the capacity to test every day.
100 players.
Yeah. Get your results back every day and know, like, yeah, you're good to go. Like, I think that's a little ridiculous. I think you're asking a little bit too much. I think every other day testing makes a lot of sense, but you're not going to, I think the players have to have some assumed risk. And that's just part of it. We all have assumed risk.
Yeah.
And from top to bottom, not just, you know, a player making millions and millions of dollars, but it's someone that's going to work. And yeah, even if they're wearing a mask, even if they are socially distancing, even if they're doing everything that they are fucking supposed to, they could still get COVID-19.
Yeah.
And that has to that has to be how the players take it. And I think that the NFL will get there. I just think they need to see the NBA and the MLB work.
Yeah.
I think once they see that, I think that's going to help alleviate some of the concerns right now.
Well, and that's going to help everyone, I think.
100%.
Outside of, you know, just the NFL owners, and I think that would help for them. You know, all along we've been thinking, well, the NFL, this is going to kind of play right into their hands as they don't start till the fall and everything, and now this is kind of drug out, and baseball, you know, seems to be the first one that they seem to be full steam ahead right now.
Right.
And I think they're going to try it. No question. I think it's going to happen.
Right.
And regardless, same thing with the NBA, but I think that yes, it would do a lot for, you know, a lot of people and the NFL to see those two leagues go on without a hitch. And we'll see.
And look, and I don't want to repeat myself from Monday, but you had to assume that there were things that were going to go wrong at the start. It's never going to be perfect from the start. When you're starting something brand new, like if you're doing like a project, right? You're redoing your kitchen, right? You're going to find something wrong with it. When it's not going to just go completely smooth for two weeks of that rebuild. And you're like, wow, that's a weird thing to compare it to. But it's anything. It's any sort of big activity that's just going to be different. And so I think that the NFL, the NBA and baseball will figure this shit out. I agree with what Adam Silver said about, hey, look, all these positive tests are a good thing. I think that's exactly the right thing to say, because by the time we get to the bubble, we're going to be all prepared.
Yeah.
Now, you can argue with Silver if they should have let teams like the Wizards and then, you know, how this all sort of worked out with a lot of these guys dropping out. I think that that's just, unfortunately, it's part of the panic porn. And I think the league should have done a better job of giving these guys time. And who knows, maybe things start to change. And then, you know, do you think some guy will reconsider? Do you think Dinwiddie will be like, oh, actually, you know what? I kind of want to play now. Or do you think that won't happen?
Oh, man. Well, the Nets are such a unique situation that's a good question. I don't know.
I don't know if it can happen. I don't really understand the rule.
Yeah, I don't know either. Because I think it was July 1st?
Yeah.
It was June 24th was the quote unquote deadline. But then I saw a tweet that was kind of a soft deadline. Rosters didn't need to be finalized till like July 1st or something like that.
So
maybe I have my dates.
Yeah,
confused.
I don't know.
But I'm not sure what exactly the rules are if a guy can decide. Yeah, I mean, if you're Dinwiddie specifically, there's probably no reason to come back. Bradley Beal dropped out. You really hate to see, you know, an all-star caliber player.
Right.
Do that. That's kind of he's definitely the biggest. Well, Oladipo as well. Those two guys dropping out is not something you want to see.
Yeah, but Oladipo didn't even drop out for virus concerns. Well, he dropped out because I think he re-injured his quadricep. And I think he's just not telling anybody.
I saw Bradley Beal was a shoulder injury.
Yeah, a rotator cuff.
Right. So he's technically not because of fears or anything like that, or, you know, protecting his family or anything like that. At least not to the public.
So again, he got another. So I think what is not being talked about, and I know we're drifting away from fall sports and we'll get back to that, but I think what's not being talked about enough about these dropouts is, did these guys really do enough to take care of themselves during the quarantine? And may have they gotten hurt just working out?
Yeah.
Because that's
to me, it's probably just an excuse. I don't know.
Fine. I mean, that could be it too.
That is just, you know,
kind of a cover your ass.
Well, I'm still banged up. We suck, you know. There is a health risk in this.
Yeah.
You know, there's an assumed risk.
Sure.
What's the point?
Yeah. It makes sense.
If you're Bradley Beal, is John Wall, was he going to play?
No.
We don't know. No,
I don't
probably
think
not.
So.
Not, right?
No, I don't think
Bertans
so.
Bertans is out.
Bertans, yeah.
Who's left?
Nobody.
Rui?
Yeah, Rui Hachimura.
And Thomas Bryant?
Rui Hachimura breakout season. Get your DraftKings up for Rui. Get him low value.
They'll probably win one of their eight games or something.
There you go. Exactly. But back to football, NFL specifically, I'm not worried at all. The football is not going to fuck up their money. There is no chance that the NFL, I will say 0.0, the NFL is having football on September 10th. Unless there is a massive second wave, and even that I don't think exists. That's my own personal theory. You can agree with me or disagree with me on that. That would be the only thing that would shut down football in early September.
Yeah, and we can probably debate what a second wave means. I mean, people think there's a second wave right now.
Right, exactly.
But I don't know.
No.
Deaths are too low, in my opinion, to really call.
Or
that,
the hospital rates.
Yeah.
And if you read, and I'll post this tomorrow in my Rona, I'm sorry to cut you off, but there's a place in Florida where their positive rates are 13%. But they're not factoring in their negative tests either. And if you factor in their negative tests, it goes down to 3.9%. It's a massive difference.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. I mean, again, we've talked before, but publicly, privately, that, I mean, it's just, and everybody knows this. You don't know who to believe.
Right.
And you pretty much at this point just have
That's
to,
what sucks about
just have
this.
To try to be as down the middle as you can and just, I guess, believe what you can.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Believe what you believe, because it's you can find whatever numbers to make whatever narrative and argument you want. So it's really hard. And
right.
I really hate, you know, referencing stuff I see, but it's hard not to.
No,
because
that's
how you get information.
You want to come with it, though. You don't want to just like you'd be talking out of your ass and avoid it and put your head in the sand. The reason we're worried about this is because of COVID-19. That's what exists. And so. Yeah. I just truly do not think the NFL will let that happen.
No, I mean, if there's one league I'm not worried about, it's the NFL.
Right. The NFL will figure
out a way.
I think
obviously we've talked the NBA. They do have a bit of a woke audience. And,
sure.
And they play to that, I think, for sure. And that's fine. I'm all for it. And, you know, baseball is kind of in the middle. Fans are already angry at the players and the owners.
Their writers are way more woke than
For sure. The writers.
Their
are.
Writers
totally.
Are terrible.
Right. I'm talking the league.
You have the Brew Crew Ball people who say they feel gross podcasting about baseball. Get the fuck out of here. Don't do it. Let Mitch and I do it then. If you're
exactly.
if you're gonna say you feel gross about it, then why are you doing it? Just resign.
Yep. We'll gladly do it.
It's for sure. And so, yeah, I think football will trudge on. I do think there will be some bumps in the road. I think that there is always going to be a plan, and they're going to do their best to keep players safe. I also think that, you know, it'd be nice if somebody in the NFL wouldn't trip over their dick every 2 weeks. You know, you have DeSean Jackson now, had Drew Brees a few weeks ago. Just seems like it's a constant theme that there's somebody just doing something dumb in football.
Yeah, I mean, that's life, you know.
Right. There's too many athletes, right? And that's kind of what happens.
Too many athletes, and everyone knows every single athlete, and it's, you know, a guy who could be the third string guard for the Cleveland Browns has, I mean, 30,000 followers probably.
Right. And if he tweets something ridiculous, like it's a headline story. Yeah.
And he's done released. Because he's third string.
Right. And DeSean Jackson isn't because he's vital to the Eagles and they have no receivers.
He's getting old though.
No, I know. Golly. 34. Yeah. He's the old guy.
Him and AP, I feel like AP's been around since I was like in high school.
Oh, right. AP had that whole ridiculous take about the running backs and how running backs are disrespected. It's like, yeah, dude, welcome to the game.
Yeah, welcome to the last 10 years.
Sorry you didn't play in the 80s. I can't help you. Yeah. But college football is a lot
So when is Greg Monroe going to say centers are disrespected?
Greg Monroe,
because he went from like an all-star to out of the league in like by the age of 29.
I heard Greg Monroe's name mentioned in a Redraftables podcast. I forget which one, with Simmons and Russillo, and they just made a comment how Greg Monroe was just wrong era guy. Like, yeah, he was in the totally. 80s, he would have been an awesome player.
He would have been, yeah. He would have been a power forward, would have been dominating guys that are probably smaller than him.
Yeah.
Because he's like 6'10", yeah. 6'11", well, listed at 6'11", probably actually 6'9".
Yeah.
With size 8 shoes.
Sure.
And, you know, really small arms. And stuff,
he had size 8 shoes?
No, I'm making that up. Okay. He has small feet, though. Oh. Watch him play. It's
interesting.
Horrible.
I didn't know that. Yeah. Fun little Greg Monroe facts.
That's not true. I'm just saying.
No, I know. No.
I mean, they're probably still
feet.
Like 20.
Yeah, he probably still has big feet and a big cock, you know? Yeah. I mean, it's not like
Exactly. We're not doubting that.
I've seen him at Apartment 720. I saw the girls that were getting there, him and John Henson. That was awesome.
That Moose on the loose.
Moose and Henson. I mean, no one.
Name a more iconic duo.
No club scene was sadder than when John Henson left Milwaukee.
Yeah, it was.
That bankroll just disappeared.
Yeah, it's the downtown economy took a hit for sure.
What I was going to transition into, and you did your thing where you interrupt me mid transition, is the college football has a lot trickier time figuring this out. For a variety of reasons. Number one, none of these athletes get paid. We don't need to get into this discussion about paying athletes. I think we're all on board that the athletes should make some money. However that looks, however that feels, it's going to take some time. Unfortunately, that's not an instantaneous change. You want to talk about, I wish I was playing in 2027, because if we're still doing this podcast in 7 years, I think athletes are going to get paid. I think that college athletes, there will find a source of income for college athletes.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think it'll look different.
Eventually, they'll find a way to let guys profit off their likeness. That's pretty much already happening, I think.
Right.
Or we're right there. And there might be something where they get an extra, you know, so much money per week or whatever, you know. I don't know, but
yeah,
they get quite a bit already, but
no, that's the whole thing. And so we know that part. That's problem number one. Problem number two is there's no college football commissioner.
Right.
There is no college football sort of overseer. There's no man, there's no woman to oversee college football.
The most powerful people in college football are the coaches. And at the end of the day, they're really not
directors.
Sure. Barry Alvarez is
Gene Smith from Ohio State. Jeff Bowles from is he in Kansas? I'm thinking of the wrong guy. Doesn't matter. There's not a lot of ADs that you know by name.
Right.
Let's just put it that way.
What I was going to say is that, you know, the coaches at the end of the day don't really have the call. I'm sure, would Nick Saban play a game tomorrow? Yeah, absolutely.
100%.
I think he would. I mean,
yeah.
He says a lot of the right things all the time, but I just think he would. It's Alabama. They wouldn't be stopped for anything.
And I think that with what college football needs to do is they need to get all of the power brokers in the room. They need to get, whether it is a task force, whether it is having a commissioner, or it's a commissioner and then one representative from each conference and then one representative from the group of five, which is the mid-majors. So the power five and the mid-majors, could throw Notre Dame in that mix too. You get everybody in a room and you start hammering out what we're going to do. What are the processes? Are we going to have travel restrictions? How is this going to look? I think you need to be unified and not let everybody dictate their own rules. Because if you let everybody dictate your own rules, it's going to turn into silly season. And it's going to turn into, well, this can't happen. And so, you know, there have been some interesting things. Pat Forty had an article in Sports Illustrated where it was like completely reshaping college athletics. And it was like regionalizing everything and taking all the 120 teams and dispersing them among 11 conferences or something
Are they playing those at a neutral site or something?
No. It wouldn't be a bubble. It would just be they would just be traveling. Okay. They'd keep their travel short. I don't think you can do that for next year. I don't think there's enough time for that.
No.
What I do think there is enough time for, though, and I didn't look at a lot of schedules, and I will probably go back and do this for my own morbid curiosity, but you would say take the Badgers, right? I looked at the Badgers schedule. The Badgers non-conference games are against Southern Illinois, Appalachian State, and Notre Dame. The only one that really you would have to kind of replace there is Appalachian State. Because they're in North Carolina. It's a lot of travel. So you replace that with a MAC team, and you say the Big 10 and the Big 12 are going to work with MAC teams, and the ACC is going to work with the American and Conference USA. The SEC is going to work with the Sun Belt and the Conference USA. The Pac-12 is going to work with the Mountain West. And you can even throw the Big 12 as part of the Mountain West too. And you start filling non-conference games that way.
I kind of like that idea. That's not too bad. You mean after next year?
No, I'm saying you could do that this year.
Oh, well, yeah.
You could do that this year for a time being as a placeholder to just say, limit the travel.
Yeah.
Understand that.
Like, would they try to find, say, for example, Oregon, would they try to find a game against Fresno State or something?
Sure.
That they maybe don't have this year, but maybe 2 years from now, and then flip-flop it or something?
Could be the case. So Oregon is an interesting one. I'm glad you brought that up. So Oregon has maybe the most high-profile non-conference schedule of the college football season. So they play North Dakota State at home, first game of the season. I mean, that is a primetime game. There's a lot of fascination with that game.
Yeah.
Next game, they play Ohio State at Autzen Stadium. So they lose that gate. Like, they lose the revenue that comes in from Ohio State. It's really kind of a mess.
Yeah.
So they
that was almost one of the first games pointed out, I believe.
Yeah.
By somebody probably back in like April.
Right. Alabama USC is one that has been mentioned. Yep. That was supposed to be in Jerry's world. I think the other step you could take is that all neutral site games are not going to exist. Then you say, okay, Alabama, USC, we are going to flip a coin. Whoever wins 2 out of 3, you're hosting. And that's it. And if there are not going to be fans in the game, you shouldn't really have to worry about how do we prepare for game day.
Yeah.
And that's just how you're going to do it. Because I think neutral site games are probably the one thing that has to go. If you're like, what are the first things we can take, rid of?
It's, again, unnecessary.
Yeah.
And anything that's unnecessary in 2020 is going to be gone.
Cut it.
And should be.
Why are we putting players from Alabama and players from USC, California, Alabama, bringing them to Texas? Who knows what Texas will look like then? I think it'll probably be okay. But still, why are you, again, to your point, I just wanted to drive it home to kind of just hit that home run, spike down your take of, like, in the best way possible, of, like, that doesn't make sense. So just play it either in Bama or play it at USC.
What do you think about the idea of maybe just Power 5 and then maybe, like, another, like, conference? But I don't know how you decide this, but maybe, like, a 6 conference with, UCF and Notre Dame and some of your bigger mid-majors or independents.
Oh, so that's a good question. So
it'd be tough just for this year.
You're saying all conference games. So just, you could
So you take out all non-conference games.
So you could probably do that. So you could, because, like, take Wisconsin.
But the problem is with that independent mid-major one, there'd probably be a lot of travel.
So here's what I think you could do. I have to really think through this a little bit. Mm-hmm. But the American, in a way,
get some facts and come see me.
No. The American is like the 6th conference, but you could put Notre Dame with that. And then it'd be like Notre Dame, Memphis, Cincinnati, UCF.
Houston.
Notre Dame would probably actually latch on with the Big Ten. Notre Dame would weasel their way to the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. That's what would probably happen.
The Big Ten already has, 14 teams?
Right. But Notre Dame would just say, we're Notre Dame.
Yeah.
We bring the NBC contract with us. We have the Michigan rivalry. We're playing Wisconsin this year. We've played Michigan State before. A Notre Dame Iowa game would do big numbers. Like, we're Notre Dame.
Boy, that's a crying shame that Notre Dame Wisconsin game.
I have a wedding that night, so I have, like,
I'm not going to say it, but it might not look like it's supposed to. Let's just say that.
Well, exactly.
You never know.
I mean, it would have been
October 3rd.
It would have been an awesome weekend to go up, visit our good friend Pat Lewis, and just get silly drunk.
October 3rd, it'll probably still be pretty seasonable outside. And
yeah, oh, God.
It would be.
It's a night game, too, at Lambeau.
Yep, 6:30.
Fuck. I mean, God, I'm almost happy I have a wedding. But maybe that wedding will get canceled, and then I'll be sad again, and I'll be like, I could have had that, but who knows?
Yep.
We'll see. But to circle back, no, you're right. I think you could do a pod because, yeah, like you said, the Big Ten has 14 teams, or if they add Notre Dame, 15 teams. So Wisconsin having quote-unquote non-conference games against Big Ten opponents, that can still happen. You kind of distribute who they would be playing, and then you're there, and you're good. The Big 12 would have to play teams twice, unfortunately, but the ACC, the SEC, the Pac-12 – all of enough teams in their conference where they could play other teams in their conference at a non-conference setting, essentially, yeah, if you I mean, will.
You know, this, I think it's a decent idea to consider.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
A lot of this stuff just seems like it's a little too late right now to just to logistically happen. I mean, I guess it's if you're to me, just playing the conference teams seems to be the easiest answer.
Yeah, it's the easiest solutions are twofold.
To cancel your neutral your Alabama Citadel game for sure.
Cancel neutral site games and cancel neutral site games.
So that would include Lambeau Field.
Yeah, I know. I was going to caveat because I think Lambeau's actually okay if you get, like, not to move the goalpost here, but games that aren't regionally.
Don't do that here on this podcast.
Though. Yeah, you're right. We shouldn't. I shouldn't move the goalpost on this, but fuck it. I am because I, whatever.
Everybody else does.
Yeah, no shit. So I think neutral games that just are neutral at best. Like, Notre Dame and Wisconsin is a Midwest neutral game.
I mean, there is
game.
A difference between Lambeau Field and Camp Randall. It's right. A two-hour drive right. In the same state.
Yes. Versus that's kind of what I'm saying.
Alabama and USC going all the way to
Dallas.
Texas.
Exactly.
Yeah, Dallas, Texas.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, Texas, whatever.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm trying. What I was trying to convey. Thank you for...
There is a difference. So
exactly. It's a regional... If it's regionalized neutral, yeah, what if you want to have it, have it. Lambeau might tell them to say fuck off and just and want to keep their field. I could easily see Mark Murphy be like, we don't have the revenue here.
That's
and
a fair point. I think, yeah, Mark Murphy could be like, we're not getting the revenue anyway. You know, we're lucky to even have football right now. So maybe next year, you know.
But I don't know. Maybe they get a take off the rate, you know, some of the TV revenue and some of the awareness and all that. So maybe it's like, I would just rather have it.
Not to change it up, but they play Minnesota the following week, which is got to be the first time in my life that it's...
They switched that up this year. So the Badgers are now playing Iowa the final week of the season. So Iowa, for some reason, they didn't want to keep doing the Iowa-Nebraska rivalry the last day.
Really?
Yeah. I think Nebraska actually playing Minnesota that Friday.
Nebraska got scared?
I don't know. I really don't know, man. Wow. You got to talk to Big Ten.
Guess so.
The one thing I wanted to call out, though, because I'd be remiss if we didn't talk about it, and we probably should move on because we're a little over. But you cannot do college sports in spring. I get that the Ivy League is doing their football in spring. I get that a D3 school like with John Hopkins is doing it in spring. It would be an unmitigated disaster to do college football in spring because the NFL draft is not going to wait for college football. The NFL draft is not going to say, oh, yeah, we'll do it in June. Yeah, you know what? We'll just push that back to June. No worries. Doesn't matter.
They might. I don't know.
Oh, come on.
Well, the NBA did. I mean, they pushed it back.
Right. But the only way the NFL would push back their draft is if their season gets pushed back.
Yes.
If the NFL,
that I would believe it.
If the NFL does push back their season, then yeah, there is a case for college football in the spring. But if NFL continues on, college football in the spring would mean that guys like, why would Trevor Lawrence play?
Yeah.
Trevor Lawrence won't play. Justin Fields will not play out of Ohio State. Those are the top two draft picks right now. Those guys are not going
two
to play.
Two biggest stars on the two
Jamar
best
Chase
teams.
Of LSU, the wide receiver. Another top five, top 10 guy. Not going to play. Nobody that's going to get drafted in the first two or three rounds of the draft, and some guys who think they are second or third rounders, but really they're like fucking fifth rounders, are not going to play.
Josiah DeGuerra, guys like that. I mean, so for the record, though, Ivy League, I believe, was the first team to cancel their basketball tournament.
And that's what a lot of people are pointing to, but it's different. That is an apples to oranges situation, in my opinion. Now, that is my opinion. Some people might see that differently.
Just saying.
Look, I know it is a warning shot. It is a warning flare. And I think your point is justified by saying, aren't we a little too late in this?
Another difference is that less people probably care about Ivy League football than they do Ivy League basketball.
Well, I have a random tangent on that, actually, and we'll then move to baseball.
So what is the saying? If a tree falls in the forest, does anyone hear it?
Right. Morgan, my fiance,
they don't know won't hurt him.
Is listening to the Jessica Simpson audiobook right now. It's narrated by Jessica Simpson. Yeah, nice. You ask her about it. She's into it big time. And she talks about how she meets her now husband, Eric Johnson, former player for the San Francisco 49ers and the New Orleans Saints. He was a tight end.
Okay. Good-looking
guy. He's a good-looking guy, and not surprising. So anyways, she talks about how like
NFL Blitz era. Perhaps?
No, a little bit after that.
Okay.
So they talk about how he has this like great catch in a Harvard Yale game. And Morgan's like, do people actually refer to it as like the catch? And I go, I don't know. Maybe at Harvard and Yale, maybe on their Wikipedia page it exists, but yeah. I've never really thought once about a Harvard and Yale game. I'm not that much of a degenerate that I'll gamble on Harvard and Yale. Okay. So like I have limits on my gambling, lady. It's not, I have no vested interest. Did I have a full vested interest in Serie A today and the Premier League? Yeah, you bet your ass I did.
Yeah, Forza Milan, man. I mean, they put a hurting on Ronaldo on the
Well,
boys.
That was crazy because I was having such a bad day. And I was like, fuck, they're down 2-0. And then I like opened up my ESPN app and it was 4-2. I'm like, what the fuck
happened? Well, I saw on Twitter that I follow Milan, I think, and Juve on Twitter or some socials.
Mitch, low-key Serie A guy.
And I saw, I like AC Milan. And I saw the game was on and I'm like, let me flip that on. It was 2-1. Right as I flipped it on, and the picture finally came in on my Fire Stick. They're scoring another one, 2-2. Look over, 3-2. Look over, 4-2.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Did you?
Juve is supposed to be really, really good.
Oh, Juve is very good. I mean, I think right now it's probably Bayern Munich and Juve for the Champions League if you were to handicap it. I think Juve is still in there. I can't remember who. I know Bayern's still in there. Bayern is so good right now. Bayern is playing just unbelievable soccer. Also, did you catch that a Laszlo player bit a Leche player?
No.
Went full Mike Tyson on his ass. I have it on my Instagram story, SnowtapWI. I also tweeted it. But yeah, just bit his shoulder. Got a red card.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Luis Suarez?
It was very Suarez. I should have done Luis Suarez. That would have been a better tweet. I was like a real Mike Tyson situation. I don't know. Whenever I see bites, I go to Tyson. But Suarez would have been so much better. I fucked that up.
Yep. Well, when I Google soccer player biting, it's Suarez.
I think it was Patrick, was his last name.
Oh, yeah, I don't.
It's fine.
I can't look it up right now.
Doesn't matter. Look, but anyways, that was talking soccer. I've actually really enjoyed the amount of soccer I've watched, and it shows you that if you just gamble on it, you can just like the sport, and you don't really need to pick a team, because I don't really have a team.
Incidentally, real quick, you don't have to comment on this, but the Premier League had zero positive tests for coronavirus, apparently, earlier this week.
Well, I will just say this. If that is true, the NBA, the MLB, the NFL, the NHL, MLS, who's had their own shit, you need to reach out to them and be like, what the fuck are you doing? How are you doing this? What?
It's a different country.
Sure, but what are you telling your players? Part of my theory as to why the NBA had so many problems was because the players didn't locally isolate. They didn't tell people to say, hey, you know, don't just go out. Like, don't go to like fucking the club. Don't go to the bars. Don't go out to eat. Like, we really need you to stay quarantined. Like, I know that Milwaukee is open.
I have no one. I don't know of anyone that has. I mean, that has been publicly.
I'm just saying, like, that's to me is the part of the issue that there's so many like positive tests popping up locally is because they weren't doing enough to keep these guys in a tight bubble.
You don't think so?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think that they have trainers and all kinds of people that are getting paid good money that they want out there to watch the players. And are they going to stop them? No, probably not. But I think they're probably always in their ear.
Yeah, for sure. Well, let's flip. I know I said we were going to do baseball, but I want to tell an NBA story, and then we might as well talk about Chris Middleton because I want to talk local isolation really quickly. It has nothing to do with actually locally isolating. I was walking my dog. I haven't even told you guys this. I forgot to include this in a chat. So I'm walking Lily, my dog, great dog. I'm walking her right around Bel Air. I see this like army truck just blow through a turn signal, and I kind of do like a hand, like, what the fuck? It's DJ Wilson.
Really? Nice.
DJ fucking Wilson, you know, thinks the rules don't apply to him. But anyways.
Some people think he might have been the positive test. So.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Shafty had that tweet and I could not agree with it more.
I was shocked,
you know what? If we were gonna bust out the Snowtap WI casino, I think I would have had DJ Wilson he's even odds.
Maybe I'm naive, but I think most of the Bucks players lay pretty low.
Yeah, I think they do too.
And
from Brook Lopez,
whether that's Milwaukee or if that's just their personalities. I think it's some of both.
Brooke Lopez had a pretty good comment today about just that he's optimistic that everything's going to kind of work itself out. And I think that was probably the most...
Somebody's optimistic, my God.
Your guy. But no, seriously, it was the first time...
That's why he's my guy.
It was the first time a player like actually brought some nuance to the table. And I'm not surprised that it was Brooke Lopez. So I appreciate that. Instead of snarky tweets...
He doesn't do enough in front of the camera, in front of the mics.
Tweets from Brett Anderson. Brett Anderson's tweets are going to make me just hate him as a Brewer.
Yeah.
But whatever. So so we're all over the place. But
Chris Middleton, baby.
Chris Middleton.
Didn't touch a basketball for 2 or 3 months.
Yeah.
That's your initial reaction. I mean...
Do you care?
That's fair.
Do you think it's an overreaction by me?
No, I mean... That was my initial reaction. I think that, too, part of it is his relationship with Bucks fans, I think, over the years.
Yeah.
How people, I mean, he was bad last season. I mean,
yes.
Not bad, but, you know, should have been better.
Right.
And now he reached his potential, I would say, in 1920. So he's kind of on Bucks fans' good side again after his performance, you know, before the pandemic hit and everything. I think, yeah, it's fair to have an initial reaction. I think my initial reaction was like, well, that's great, you know. Just throw that out there, you know, didn't touch a ball for 2 or 3 months. But I think at the end of the day, I think he's a basketball player. He's played basketball his entire life. Maybe it's all right.
My biggest concern is I remember us doing podcasts a few years ago where we were killing Middleton because he was out of shape to start multiple seasons.
Yes, that's the concern.
That to me is the worry. That Chris Middleton has went Pablo Sandoval a couple different times in his career where he's just been...
He's not that bad, but I love the joke.
10 pounds heavier than he should be. And then he plays himself into shape, and then a month in, he's actually pretty good. And it's like, okay, Chris, where was that? And now maybe it was a maturity thing because it really didn't exist, I think, last year, and I don't think even the year prior. I didn't really see, like, wow, Middleton's laboring out there.
Right.
And as long as, like, his cheeks don't look puffy and he doesn't look kind of ragged, I think it'll be all right.
Well, maybe the hamstring injury from a few years ago was just bad for him, and it took him a while to recover.
Oh, that's interesting.
And now he's obviously been fully recovered for, what,
three years?
Well, maybe his third season.
Well, the other part of the hamstring injury, which I thought this was the take route you're going, I'm going to go into another route. Could the hamstring injury be the reason he did not touch a basketball? Because he got hurt. He was training, right?
Yeah, it was in like September or whatever.
Right. He was just working out, and he might have just said, you know what?
I'm not going to do any more than I have to.
Yep. And he's like,
I will do, because I'm pretty sure when I listened to Pat Connaughton and the JJ Redick podcast, he said that they have trainers that'll get them whatever they need, whatever they want. Oh,
Suki,
I'm sure.
Suki has a bodyweight workout.
Suki's the GOAT. So I mean, I'm sure that those guys have. You know, whether they're picking up a basketball or not, I mean, I feel like that's like riding a bike for those guys.
For sure. So we might have solved the Chris Middleton thing. I didn't put that two and two together.
Get him 3 weeks in a bubble where all he's going to have to do is play basketball.
Yeah.
He'll be all right.
And watch a few movies, hang out, you know.
That's
like,
about it, though.
Yeah, exactly.
Ping pong.
That's all you got.
Didn't they say they were going to have the newest Madden or something early for those guys?
Mm-hmm. Newest Madden. So
there's going to be no bandwidth because they're all going to be playing... Call of Duty.
They're either going to be on video games, video chat.
They're all going to be pulling an Aaron Jones.
FaceTiming.
They're just going to be sitting in a hotel.
On OnlyFans.
Yeah.
If OnlyFans was smart, they would just create like a group of women that just are free to NBA players.
Maybe the NBA can call them up.
Right, or Cam Soda.
See if they can waive some of the fees.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like those fees are that expensive. They're like a drop in the bucket.
True.
I mean,
yeah,
the most expensive one I saw was like $50.
And really?
Wow. It was from a batshit girl who was a writer. It's a long story. It's not worth.
Yeah, we don't want
to. Yeah, we don't need to go down that rabbit hole. That's a rabbit hole. While I would have a lot of fun with, don't need that getting back to me.
Right. Right.
Why do you know so much? I don't know.
Let's just cut our losses.
So anyways, well, yeah, would you, can I ask you if your radio station, fuck off. If your radio station was like, hey, Mitch, we want to send you down to the bubble for 3 months. We'll pay you. We'll, you know, you got to take care of yourself in a few. Yeah. You'll have a slight per diem, but you're down there for as long as the Bucks are down there. Do you go?
Yes.
Yeah. I don't think
like all like you're taking all these circumstances out of it and everything. It just,
yeah, you're assuming some risk. You might get COVID, but that's maybe the only risk you got.
Yeah. I mean, you know, yes, I would do it. Right. I think it'd be fun. You'd make a lot of sources. You'd make a lot of friends.
I think it would be awesome content.
It'd be like going to summer league, but more fun and, you know, longer.
Someone's going to write a fucking great book on the Orlando bubble. And I don't know who it'll be. I don't know if it'll be Windy. I don't know if it'll be
Eric some. Name.
Yeah. No, fuck that. That was a little mean. But still, I who knows? But someone's going to write a great book on that. And we'll see who it is. And I think it's going to be an awesome read to learn about all the different nuances that happen in that bubble. Because it'll be, you know, who knows? There'll be headlines like, so-and-so were playing video games and they got into an altercation. Like, I can see that fake headline. Like, Joel Embiid got mad at FIFA and stormed into so-and-so's room and wanted to fight him.
Yeah. I mean, it'll probably be a 30 for 30 in 20 years. Like, The Last Dance, 100%. when I'm turning 51 in 20 years, there'll be, you know, all the guys will be willing to tell their stories. And, yeah, you know, oh, this one year, you know, they made us go down to a bubble because of a pandemic. And nobody listened.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite things was,
I mean, you got J.R. Smith down there.
Was Jalen Rose, who was talking about like worrying about girls, and Jay Williams was trying to like be like, he didn't understand it. And it's like, Jalen Rose is like being politically correct talking about clapping cheeks.
This is on the schedule?
Yeah.
Show? Yeah, that was funny. That was good stuff.
It's like, read the room one time, Jay.
Yeah.
Like, he's talking about clapping cheeks. Mm-hmm. Anyways. Moving on to baseball.
He's trying to be the good guy.
Well, Duke, you know, just classic Duke guy.
Yep.
The Brewers schedule came out. It is there. I'm excited. I'm very disappointed that the Brewers don't have a day game on opening day, so I can't really take off work.
It's a 6 p.m.
6 p.m. ESPN start in Chicago. Under the lights in Wrigley on a weekend is a weird feeling. Just does not feel right. And the Brewers only have a few day games. There are not many day games at all, really.
Pretty much just Sundays.
Just Sundays.
Actually, the next day, they play at 12:05.
They do play at 12:05. But, of course, I'm busy that Saturday afternoon. So, I mean, you know, fuck me, right? Yep. But is there anything that you looked – I did the observations on yesterday's show. Was there anything that stood out to you that you're like, wow, this sucks, this is great, this is – this is going to be tough. What kind of was your like initial gut reaction about a certain part of the schedule, or maybe the schedule in general?
Well, it's kind of imbalanced.
Okay, that's interesting. I'm glad you said that.
They play Minnesota six times.
Yeah,
and they only get like Kansas City for one series or something. Yep. So I mean,
yeah, that sucks.
That's probably the geographic thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are border rivals. Mm-hmm. The Minnesota Twins, but the Twins are also expected to win like 40 of 60 games this year.
Right. The Twins are a World Series contender, for sure.
Yes, they are.
Until they lose to the Yankees in the ALCS, like they always do.
Preseason darling, yes. Until they lose to the Yankees like they do every single year.
It's amazing.
And the White Sox end up finishing ahead of them anyway. So, and win the division.
Very excited to watch the Brewers against the White Sox this year. I love the White Sox last year. I was like a year early on that, but Luis Robert and Yoan Moncada, I mean, Eloy Jimenez, they got some studs. They got some boys.
A lot of Cuban swag there, for
and
sure.
And I love the White Sox uniforms. I'm always a sucker for the White Sox pinstripes.
Absolutely. That's why I just got a White Sox hat. So
yeah, you can't beat that.
They got the clean black hat with the White Sox logo. It's one of the best in the bigs, for sure. I mean, other than that, I guess the Cubs series, they play, what, a bunch? They play an extra series on the road?
Right.
Against the Cubs?
Yeah. So how it breaks down is they play 70% of their games against the Cubs on the road, but they play 60% of their games against the Cardinals at home, and they play 70% of their games against the Reds at home. I actually love that. To me, is one of the biggest things that stands out because...
Well, what is it? Pecota or whatever had the Reds winning 43 games or something?
That's ridiculous.
I don't know. I thought of you right away that was going to get your blood boiling.
I am on the island that the Reds are going to stink this year. I am so on that island. I have planted my flag.
Well, Nick Castellanos already, who's kind of a poopy head.
Yeah.
Already said that he didn't want to be a DH.
Oh, nice.
So he hates
he's such an asshole. I'm actually glad he wasn't a Brewer. He's another one that I can't stand.
I'd take him.
Well, yeah. But, I mean, Moustakas is going to be the DH, right?
Huh?
Moustakas will probably be their DH, right? I mean, that to me seems like a Moustakas role.
Definitely.
If anything, and then you don't have to worry about him at second base. I mean, they still have a problem, though, at second base because Suarez is their third baseman most of the time. I don't know. They have a lot of bodies. They might
Eugenio Suarez.
Noted asshole. Just a, such a Brewer killer.
That's just a tough name to say.
Eugenio Suarez just kills the Brewers. I swear. He's the new Jay Bruce in a lot of ways. And I don't have stats to back that up. I just have my eyes.
I mean,
and
the Reds are going to be frisky.
Oh, I'm not denying that. But I'm saying the fact that Brewers have 70% of their games at Miller Park, and they don't have to play in that fucking bandbox seven times and have weird home runs where it's like it's a fly ball out to left.
Right. And it just
that's
carries
a home run. Oh, shit.
Carries because it's 90% humidity with an 80-degree dew point in Cincinnati.
Just stupid weather and a stupid ballpark. Yeah, and
it really is.
So
it's worse than Yankee Stadium. Yankee Stadium is a little league park. Guys' numbers are inflated. You can't tell me they're not.
Sure. But if we were to do like a snow tap top five of like least favorite ballparks, I would probably...
I'm just saying dimensions.
Yeah. From a dimension standpoint, I would probably go the Reds, Coors, Yankee Stadium. I think Petco is dumb. They've never been able to figure out
the Marine layer.
Petco, yeah.
I mean, that's just a California problem. I think they have that problem in San Francisco.
I don't know. But San Francisco is beautiful. I don't know.
The problem with them is they're both right on the water.
Right.
Whereas I think L.A., it's in the ravine.
Yeah, I like L.A. stadium.
So it's still tough. The ball doesn't really fly there either.
No. They're doing night games in L.A. on like Sunday nights. I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Give me a 9 o'clock game on Sunday night. I don't need to do anything. Like, I can do 9 on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. Not doing anything. I'll go to bed.
I'll be in bed by first pitch on that one.
God, you're...
Sundays.
God,
that's just when I recharge the batteries, the Sundays. I can't go past 10.
I know.
At all.
I hear you. Well, we'll see. I mean, the Reds thing stands out. The fact that they have this last sort of six or seven game stretch against the Cubs and the Cardinals at home in mid-September. If the Brewers are going to contend, that'll probably decide your year. And I think the other point about playing the Cubs on the road, are we sure the Cubs are good this year? Are we sure the Cubs are going to be? I mean, people at the Cubs sort of.
Well, I mean, they still are crowned a little bit, and maybe shame on me for complaining about them, you know, their imbalanced schedule with the Cubs. Obviously, I want to beat the Cubs, so mm-hmm. that kind of upsets me. Yeah, I mean, the pitching scares me. A new manager, correct? I mean,
this is not a year for a new manager. This is not a year to just have a new manager.
Old Rossi.
I think that there is, that's going to be a real issue. And Chris Bryant saying, well, now he's a little scared about playing. I think, again, like we talked about at the Open, it's going to calm down. But if Chris Bryant decides he doesn't want to play, I'm not going to stop him.
Yeah.
Let's just put it that way.
On last Friday, which would have been, the 3rd of July?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just watching MLB Network for a little bit in the morning, and they had, all the ballpark cams going. It was just like, I don't know. It was fun to see. It was happy. It made me happy to see.
Look, man, I probably will watch a lot more just baseball just because. And it'll be the same reason I've watched soccer. It's the same reason I've tuned into a little bit of NASCAR. I've watched more baseball watched more golf. It's just if it's on, I'm going to not take it for granted.
So speaking of that, are you pissed about the $69 or $60 subscription package for MLB TV with full blackouts? It's apparently more than... you know, a more expensive
that's
pound
so
for pound.
Baseball.
It's just so baseball, right?
Baseball just, we love, I've, the statement tripping on your dick is something I've said way too often last few podcasts, but baseball loves to trip on their dick.
Yeah.
That is such a baseball move. That is so dumb.
I feel like they finally embraced YouTube a little bit.
Yeah.
And you can, I think MLB has literally.
Yeah, they have a robust YouTube
hour
page.
Long highlights,
mm-hmm.
you know, top 100 plays from 2019 or whatever.
Yeah.
I watched that one time. It wasn't an hour, but it was probably 30 minutes.
Sure.
That was kind of cool. I don't think I've seen that from another sport. So I think they finally embraced the YouTube and the online highlights a little bit. But yeah, I mean, this, it's like, they should be, man, again, baseball.
Why would
it's just
you,
been, a, it's just been,
if you're
for, base, in terms of fan accessibility and fan relatability, it's just been a struggle.
If you're baseball, why wouldn't you just create an a la carte system where you could say, you know, $5 for one game. Say like you wanted to watch that Rockies Dodgers game. It's a 9 o'clock start. You want to watch that on a Sunday night. You're like, I'm not really tired. I just want to watch that.
Like the NBA did.
$5. Here you go. It's there. you want to watch the full slate of games because you have off and you have maybe some money on a lot of games, it's $10.
Yep.
And just say that. Or you want to buy the week, you have a week off, or you just know you're going to have a lot of free time.
Yeah.
Well,
the NBA did what? They did single game.
$25. You know, like.
The NBA has been
fucking
very.
Fucking creative with it.
The NBA has been creative. They should take pointers from them. I mean, they did. They were the first. They did. You could get your one team, right? The NBA did that. They still do that, I think. You can get your one out of market team or whatever. And they did the one game. And then they even did it where you could buy the last fourth quarter or something like that.
Why can't you buy the last, like.
Seventh
inning on. Here's the one thing I will lob out, and maybe it's something that hasn't been unveiled yet because they're waiting to see like how these teams are and matchup based and not scheduling a lot. It could be that they're going to add just a buttload of nationally televised games. That every night you're going to get a game on MLB Network.
Well,
you might get a game on FS1. You might get a game on TBS.
That's fair.
And they don't, and that they haven't officially worked that all out yet. And they're just going to say, we're going to select it as it goes on. We're going to pick the best matchup of the night. We're going to pick a matchup that the fans want to watch.
Well, and you got to believe that ESPN is, you know, salivating for anything at this point. I mean,
their boots are going to be filled with basketball.
Right.
But they're not going to have every basketball game. I mean, they have to share it with TNT. So they're going to have to offset some of those nights where TNT is rolling. And now, baseball doesn't want to take away from their RSN, so they'll obviously have that relationship. But I think on a lot of those games, the RSNs can run as the national broadcast is running. I think there are only certain games where it is just the national broadcast, and then the RSNs don't run.
Like MLB Network could probably just carry the Brian Anderson and Bill Schroeder.
Speaking
although
of Brian
Anderson.
Although
we're not probably going to get Brian Anderson
very
much.
Yeah, man, that sucks. It really seems like. No, Marv Albert is, I think, actually great for the league. Marv has been past his prime for a few years, and this is a low-key, sneaky move of, like, let's see how, like, Harland, Ian Eagle, and Brian Anderson do in this, and they're going to realize it's better than Marv
Maybe
Albert.
Maybe Spiroditis.
Spiroditis, I don't like. He gets too excited. He has a little bit of, like, he gets, like, big announcer voice and just kind of...
Like Joe Tessitore a little
bit? Yeah, you're perfect. You're exactly right. He has that Tessitore in him.
Too excited at times where he might...
Where it's
not,
like...
It might not be necessary.
Yeah, it's like, George Hill lays it up!
Yep.
It's like, it's a George Hill layup in the second quarter, bro. Chill out.
Yep.
It's not a big deal. We're up by 10. It's fine.
Yeah, it'll be a good opportunity for Brian. Yeah, so, I mean, you're not going to... Probably not going to get him a lot.
Yeah.
For this Brewers 60-game sprint.
But there'll be some nice sports days in Wisconsin coming up. Like, I targeted, there's like a Thursday where you get Bucks Heat at 3 o'clock, and then you get a Brewers White Sox game at like 7.
Nice.
That's fucking awesome.
That's early August, right?
Yeah. It's like, it's going to be great. It's going to be really enjoyable, and I'm going to be positive about it. I'm not going to be like, well, if it happens, fuck off. Like, why even go down that road?
Somebody asked me, like yesterday, do you think this is all going to happen? And I'm like, at this point, I'd be surprised if it didn't.
Yeah. They are going to try come hell or high water. And that the fact that the MLS has not shut down, like, I know the MLS is smaller scale than anything we've talked about today for 50 minutes. But the fact that the MLS has had a team drop out, they postponed a game with Nashville and Chicago tomorrow or today, actually, since we're taping, or this is for Wednesday, but they're still pressing forward, says everything I need to know, because they're like, all right, we're still doing this.
Yeah.
We're still going to make this happen. Do I think that the NBA and the MLB are a little bit justified with the shit going on with the MLS by waiting? Yeah, actually, I do. I think I now can look at it. We all were like, well, what is taking so long? And I think what they really needed to figure out all these steps, and they didn't want to do what's happening with the MLS right now.
Yep.
So we'll see. But yeah, I'd be really surprised. And again, as we talked about, it's not worth being all doom and gloom for no real reason. So we're going to continue on. We will have a great birthday, Mitch. I hope it's a good day, and I'm sure we'll have a few cervezas tonight. As well as this weekend.
Yeah.
And we'll all be probably wearing masks and hanging out.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, probably.
All right, man. We'll be back tomorrow, Daily Tap, unless there's a movie refs that I don't know about. And we'll talk to you then. See you.
Peace.